1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. I want to read it to you out of the New King James. Then I want to read it to you out of the Message Bible. It'll help clear it up. Paul is writing here. Actually, if you'll study out this 10th chapter, he's warning us to look back and look at the examples of those who went before us and don't make their same mistakes. Amen? Because in this 10th chapter, he's talking about how God brought the children of Israel out of bondage, but then they're in the wilderness. They had a time where they got away from God, and they got destroyed. Then he goes down and he says, but there's no temptation that's overcome you, but that God hasn't prepared a way for you to endure it and get out of it. Amen? So if you get tempted, don't fall under the same mistakes they made when they got tempted. Amen. And then he comes over and he starts speaking to us, and he's really, the 10th chapter leads into the 11th chapter where he teaches on communion. So he's really bringing us into a place of fellowship with God and communion with God so that we can walk in that closeness of the Lord and walk in his presence and also walk in his provision. Amen. And so here in the 16th verse, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not these who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to an idol is anything? Rather, that the things which are the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons, and I don't either. Amen? You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. In other words, Paul now is bringing it down to us, and he's saying, you're going to have to make a decision who you're going to serve and who you're going to fellowship with. Because you can't have both. How many of you know you can't live in sin and walk in the blessings of God? Amen. Well, in the Message Bible, it brings it out this way. When we drink the cup of blessing, aren't we taking into ourselves the blood, the very life of Christ? Notice that. He's talking about here, when you drink that cup, you're actually entering into your blood covenant with Christ. You're saying the blood has cleansed me and I'm one with Christ. And isn't it the same with the loaf of bread we break and eat? Don't we take into ourselves the body, the very life of Christ? In other words, he's saying, when you partake of communion, you're declaring that I'm receiving the blood of Jesus cleansing me internally, and I'm receiving the bread, his broken body, into my life. I'm receiving all he is into my life. I'm committing myself to him. Then he goes this, because there is one loaf, our manyness becomes oneness. Christ doesn't become fragmented in us. Rather, we become unified in him. We don't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us up to what he is. Woo, glory to God. Isn't that good? In other words, when we partake of this bread and of this cup, Christ is not dividing himself. He's uniting us. And what he does is he takes all of our differences and all of our unique talents and our unique giftings and our backgrounds and our cultures, and he draws us, and all of a sudden we become one in him. In other words, he elevates us out of the mundane of this world and separates us from that and brings us up into the supernatural of his world. Amen? He brings us to a higher level of living, praise God, and unites us with himself. Now, let's read on. That's basically what happened even in old Israel. Now, you need to listen to this part. Those who ate the sacrifices offered on God's altar entered into God's action at the altar. He's saying under the old covenant, when they would offer the lamb and they would put it on there, in other words, it was as if they themselves were being placed on the altar. They entered into that, and God entered in, and they entered into fellowship with that sacrifice. And as they ate of the sacrifice, you know, they would take the lamb under the Passover, and they would, you know, they would cook it and they would eat it, and it was an offering unto God, and they would take the blood and put it upon the doorpost, and they would take the food and eat it. And the Bible teaches us that when God instituted this in the old covenant of the sacrifice, that it separated Israel, and they were protected from the death angel. They operated in healing and health. And the psalmist said that there was not one feeble person came out of Egypt and walked out of there across the Red Sea. That means every young person, every old person, every hurt person, every injured person, every sick person, every diseased person got healed and received the strength to make the journey. Hallelujah. They become one with the offering. They became one on the altar with that offering. In other words, whenever they ate of the bread or of the lamb and they ate of the food there and they put the blood on, they entered into strong covenant with Almighty God. And they became a partaker of the sacrifice. In other words, it was no longer God seeing the lamb, it was God seeing them. And what he is alluding to and bringing us to a place is this. He's saying, if that is the way God worked under the old covenant, when you partake of the bread and the cup, God is no longer just seeing Jesus on the cross, he's seeing you on the cross. He's no longer seeing Jesus buried, he's seeing you buried. But he's no longer seeing Jesus raised from the dead, he's seeing you raised from the dead. Hallelujah. He's no longer seeing Jesus ascended upon high and seated at his right hand, but he is now seeing you and me ascended upon high and seated at his right hand in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, church. And I've got scripture to prove it, because in Ephesians 2, he says, we have been raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Well, let's read on. He says then in verse 19, do you see the difference? Sacrifices offered to idols are offered to nothing. For what's the idol but a nothing? Or worse than nothing, a minus. You know what he's saying? He's saying when you allow yourself to become one with the world, you're taking away from your life. Because if we become a partaker of the altar of the sacrifice of God, and if we partake of that sacrifice and it becomes one with us, he's saying if you go out here and surrender yourself to live in sin and live the way the devil wants you to live, he says you reduce yourself instead of God being able to lift you up. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a life that's a minus. I want to have a life that's a plus. Come on. Are you listening? I don't want to live in not enough. I want to live in more than enough. Praise God. I want to walk in the blessing of the Lord. So he's teaching us here to make a choice. Don't get caught up into what they failed to do in the old covenant. He said they found themselves tempting Christ. They found themselves murmuring. They found themselves worshiping idols. And many of them fell. So he says, you need to get a hold of this. You need to realize this. You cannot associate yourself with the world. It will take away from you. Because whatever you partake of is what's going to be in your life. Partake of Christ, you're going to have his blessing. He's going to lift you up. Partake of the world, and it's going to bring you to a minus in your life. Amen? Then he goes on, he says this, let's read it, or verse 20 again. He says, or worse than nothing, a minus, a demon. I don't want you to become part of something that reduces you to less than yourself. Oh, we need to read that again. Or worse than a nothing, a minus, a demon. I don't want you to become part of something that reduces you to less than yourself. Now listen, here's the final exhortation. And you can't have it both ways. Now, don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I'm just reporting it. This is what the Apostle Paul under the unction of the Holy Spirit saying to us. You can't have it both ways. Banqueting with the master one day and slumming with demons the next. Maybe I just need to read it again. Now, remember, I'm not telling you you're slumming. I'm just reading it. I'm just reporting it. Amen. Let's read it again. And you can't have it both ways. Why? Because in Matthew 6:24, Jesus said you can't serve God in the deceitful riches of this world. He said you'll love one and hate the other. You'll hang on to one and despise the other. Well, you can't serve God and mammon or the world. Amen. So you have to make a choice. You can't have it both ways, banqueting with the master on Sunday and slumming with demons Monday. Somebody says, it didn't read like that. Sure it does. In other words, you can't just decide that your Christianity is a religious act you do one time a week on Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle. It's living for Christ. It's showing Christ in your life. Amen? In fact, look back to Romans, the 6th chapter. Let's go back here real quickly. Romans chapter 6. And let's start in verse 1. Let's read a few scriptures here. And it just ties right in with what the apostle is saying here in 1 Corinthians 10. We'll come back then and look at the communion scriptures. Look what he says in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 1. What shall we say then? It's a question. In other words, what are we going to say about this? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? See, a lot of people take grace today and they just say, well, you know, if I go out here and I slum with the demons, it's okay because grace will be there and God will, you know, God knows. No, wait a minute. Paul's saying, no. You're missing the point here. He's saying, yeah, grace is given to us. And where there's sin in chapter 5, he said, grace is much more abundant. In other words, grace is stronger than the sin that you might fall into. But you can't use grace as an opportunity to slum with demons. Okay? If you're going to walk in grace, you have to choose who you're going to worship. Amen? Now, look what he says. He says, certainly not. See, read verse 1 again. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? See, that's the trouble with most of us today. We don't realize we died to sin and are alive unto Christ. You're not an old sinner. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you became a new creation in Christ Jesus, a brand new species of being that never existed before. And in verse 17, he goes on in verse 18, says, and all things are of God who has reconciled us unto himself. Come on, church. We have been brought out of sin and brought over into life. And we are partakers of the altar of God. Why would we want to go out and partake of the altars of the world? Thank God for grace. And thank God if you stumble and you mess up in your pursuit of Christ, grace is there and you cry out to God and he's merciful and faithful and true to his nature and promises. And 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins and readily admit it that you failed and you're repentant of it and you're sorrowful of it and remorseful of it, God is faithful and just and true to his own nature and character and promises and he will forgive you. Hallelujah. And when he forgives you, Isaiah 43 says he puts it away and chooses not to remember it anymore. Therefore, there is no more condemnation over that mistake because now I'm walking in the light of life and grace has picked me up, dusted me off, and helped me to get back on the path that God wants me to live. Amen? That's grace. Grace is given to me not to see how much I can get by with, but grace is given to me to help me to pursue Christ with all my heart. And help me in my faults, and help me in my weaknesses, and help me in my stumbles, amen? Not so I can just go out and live any way I want to. Now let's read on. He says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The baptism he's talking about here is not water. He's talking about the spiritual baptism that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 12 when he says, we have all been baptized into one body by one spirit. Hallelujah. In other words, I've been taken out of sin and placed into Christ. I'm no longer in sin and darkness. I am one with Christ. Now I'm to walk and live in this newness of life that I have in Christ Jesus. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Ooh, when people see you, do they see the likeness of Jesus' resurrection in you? What does that mean? Do they see the light of his glory in you? Do they see the light of his life in you? Do they see hope in you? Do they see you pursuing God? Do they see an attitude of worship? Do they see you walking in a confidence and an assurance that, praise God, whether this is my last day or this just the first day of many more days, I'm walking in peace because I have been delivered from sin, delivered from darkness, delivered from fear, delivered from death, delivered from the devil, and Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. And there's just something about you that shows the world that there's something eternal operating in your life. Amen? See, that's who Christ is calling us to be. It's what Paul is telling us to do. Make this choice in every situation. Now let's read on. He says in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. See, notice that we're partakers of the altar. We are becoming one with the sacrifice. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin, now listen, that the body of sin, that body that held you in sin, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. I just can't help it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Come on. Either you're wrong or that verse is wrong. Because God says we are no longer slaves to sin. That means you have a choice. Anybody besides me getting happy over this message? Hallelujah. I don't have to yield to that test. I don't have to yield to that temptation. I don't have to yield to that lie. I don't have to yield to that hurt. I don't have to yield to that thing that's trying to pull me away from God. I am no longer enslaved by that. I have been delivered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. And I've been raised with Christ. And I now live a new life in Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Why is it not working for me, Brother Hoffman? It's because you haven't renewed your mind to it. You have to see yourself this way. You can't just come in here and hear this message. You have to come in here and receive this message. Well, I don't look like it. You never will until you start believing it and confessing it. It's about time you started talking the word to yourself and quit talking the world to yourself. You old ugly thing, you ain't going to ever mount nothing. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just so bad. Why are you talking like that? Well, it's the way it's always been, and it will always be until you go ahead and hook up and start partaking of this altar and start talking to yourself and say, wait a minute, that old man died. It don't live in me anymore. The old body of sin is dead. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to think that way. I don't have to have that attitude. I don't have to let it rule me. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've been raised up with Christ. I'm going to walk in the newness of life. Well, it's hard. Nobody ever said it wasn't. Even the Lord Jesus said there's a struggle getting into the kingdom. Are you listening to me? And he said, there are people that are warring and fighting for it. But blessed be God, I'm going to tell you what. Jesus came and said, I'm the door. And instead of you over here pounding your head against a block wall and you trying to climb up over it and you trying to get good enough to get in it, tell you what you do. Walk on through. Hallelujah. Let me get you in here. Hallelujah. And once you get in, let him close the door behind you so you don't get out. Are you listening to me? Just hand him the key. Say, Lord, I don't even want to get that back out. I mean, here's the key. Glory to God. Amen. Let's read on. He hadn't finished yet. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Have you died to your sin once and for all? Have you finally made the decision, I am never going back? That is not who I am. That's who I was. But now this is who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. But the life that he lives to God. Somebody says, that's great about Jesus. Oh, you quit reading too soon. Verse 11, likewise. Oh, glory to God. Don't you like that word? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And isn't it wonderful that God speaks hillbilly? Likewise, reckon yourself. Are you going to do that? I reckon so. Hallelujah. Amen. Huh? He wanted to speak it in a way we could understand him. Praise God. So I reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Hallelujah. In other words, I'm hooking up with Jesus. Amen. I'm reckoning what I am like he reckons what I am. Praise God. He died to sin once. I'm dead to sin. I'm never going back. And now every day I'm going to live under righteousness. Every day I'm going to live this new life. And if I stumble, his grace is going to be there to pick me back up and get me on my feet, because I never want to hurt Jesus. I never want to fail Jesus. I never want to falter with Jesus. I never want to turn away from Jesus. I want to bring glory to him every day and live a resurrected life so people can see Jesus in my life. Amen? And that's what he's saying. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, now listen to what he says. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. See, that's exactly what he was telling us over in 1 Corinthians 10. Don't make the same mistakes they did. They were examples. They messed up. Don't you mess up. Realize what happens. So don't let sin reign in your body. Don't let your body be carnal and worldly. Make it live for God. And do not present your members, that's your hands, your mouth, your eyes, whatever, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Sin doesn't dominate me. You know what it means, offer your members? That means offer your tongue as a praise instrument, not as a curse instrument. Offer your mouth to God to lift up praises and prayers to him, not as a way to dispute, argue, and put people down. Use your hand to build people up and lift them up, not to knock them down or tear them up. Use your feet to get to church, to take the gospel to the people that you work with and live with and be a kingdom influencer in your realm that you live. Use your body as a temple where God can work through. Amen? Yield yourself to God and refuse to let sin have any dominion over you. I refuse to get in an argument. I refuse to cuss. I refuse to talk. I refuse to put something in my body or snort something in my body or pop something in my body that is wrong. I'm going to put what's good in my body. We used to have an old song, you know, you can talk about me all you please. I'm going to talk about you on my knees. Amen. How many of you know when you're talking about somebody on your knees, it's a whole lot better than talking to them in their face and getting all messed up? Because that's praying for them. That's using your instruments as righteous instruments and godly instruments and bringing glory to his name. And so the Apostle Paul, in both of these letters to both the Corinthians and the Romans and us right here in the tri-state, he's writing to us and he's saying, listen, he said, this cup of blessing, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you partake of it, you partake of all the blood did for you. And this bread is the body that's broken for you, and you partake of it. And when you come to this table, you are saying, I'm partaking of the sacrifice. In other words, I'm entering into oneness with the sacrifice. Me and Jesus, we become one. And instead of him splintering himself to try to come in all of us, he's uniting us all into one into him. And I look around me, and I see people from all walks of life. I see all ages. I see different color of skin. I hear different dialects. I hear all this stuff. And all of a sudden, there's something that brings us together, and all those differences no longer divide us. They make us strong. And we see the magnificence of God. And God begins to work in our life, and we begin to unite with one another, and we begin to show the world that this is the life we live, and this is the Christ we serve, and this is the God that we partake of at his altar. And we begin to live this life. And we make the decision that I'm not going to slum this week with demons. I'm not going to let the devil talk to my head and determine what I think or what I believe or what I say or what I do. Jesus is my Lord. And I'm serving him this week. And I'm going to let my life be a light shining to others. Amen? Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You were there in 1 Corinthians 10. Look in chapter 11, verse 23. This is what the Apostle Paul says now in giving instruction on the Lord's table. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Oh, this is straight from the Lord. This is delivered to us. Now, if something gets delivered to you, it means it belongs to you. Isn't that right? So this is for us. This is me and you. God's delivering this to me and you. What is it that you want me to have, Lord? That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, notice in chapter 10, he said it's the cup of blessing. And it's the bread of his body. Here the Lord says, it's my blood that's shed for you. He says, it's my body that's broken for you. In other words, the Lord is saying, everything you're ever going to need in this life, every blessing you'll ever need is right here in this covenant that I'm preparing for you. It's for you. There's salvation in the blood. There's forgiveness in the blood. There's healing in the bread. There's prosperity in the bread. There's peace in the bread. Everything you ever need is found here. And this meal, here's the thing you have to understand when you receive communion. You never broke bread in a covenant relationship until the covenant was established. What are you talking about, Pat? I'm talking about this. If there was a blood covenant that was established, and we have a blood covenant with God, amen? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we enter into a righteous covenant with the Almighty God. Under the old covenant, in the Old Testament, if you'll ever read, whenever they would form a covenant, both parties would come together and they would speak to each other and they would make their pledges to each other. And once they made their pledges to each other, then they would make a mark. They would cut, because covenant means to cut, where blood flows. And so they would make a covenant. Sometimes they would do it on their hand, but most of the time they'd put it on their wrist. And then what they would do is they would open up a place where they would bleed, and then the other one would cut in his wrist, and they would come together and they would take their wrists and blend them together. And whenever they would blend them together, the blood would mingle and flow together. And at that point, they became blood brothers. That meant that each one had the other's possessions, and each one was a defender of the other. If you fight one, you fight them both. If one has a need, the other one comes and supplies that need. They're always going to be together. And that covenant would go from that generation to the next generation. As long as they honored the covenant, they would stay together. And it was meant to be so that they would become stronger, because two is stronger than one. And if you were a weaker group and you had a strong group, you would definitely want to come into covenant with the stronger, because then you would have their strength to your weakness and you would become stronger. Guess what? God is the stronger and we're the weaker. But God didn't, it wasn't the weaker that came to God. Because in the fifth chapter, Paul says that even while we were yet in sin and enemies to God, God loved us and sent his son to die for us. So the greater one chose to have covenant with the weaker one. And all of a sudden, the weaker one gets in on all the greatness of the greater one. Hallelujah. And that covenant was established between God the Father and God the Son. And now our covenant representative is seated at the right hand of God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And now the covenant is established. And every generation that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ enters into that blood covenant with God. Are you hearing me? That means the greatness of God becomes available to the weakness of our life. I don't have to fight my battles anymore on my own. I've got a God who will fight them for me. Hallelujah. I don't have to go into anything by myself. I've got somebody who will never leave me nor forsake me. And he's greater. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, you are of God. Hallelujah. Not gonna be. You are of God. And then he goes on and says, and have overcome them. Somebody says, what's the them? Read verses 1, 2, and 3. Demons and devils and all the junk that's coming against you. Well, how am I overcoming all this stuff? For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why? Because the greater one came and formed a covenant with me, and I was just smart enough to get in on it. Hallelujah. Come on, church. And now what this greater one does is he comes, he says, now let me make you something that you could never be on your own. fellowship with me, walk with me, enjoy my presence, enjoy my blessings. Let me help you fight your battles. Let me help you to get through the tests and trials of life. Let me be your strength in times of weakness. Let me heal you up when you've been done wrong. Let me be there for you when everybody else leaves you. Let me change your life and make you a new creation. And that covenant is established. And when they would then do the covenant, then they would all sit down and they would break bread together because it was called the covenant meal. And they would eat together. Why? Because they were no longer two different groups. They were one family with each other. And they would have a family meal to celebrate their oneness with each other. The communion table is the family meal between the Heavenly Father and His sons and daughters on earth. And when we partake of this bread and drink of this cup here in the next few moments, it is not us trying to get God to do something for us, but it is acknowledging that He's already done something for us. The covenant is already in operation. I am already, when I called on Jesus, I'm already saved. I'm already an eternal child of God. I'm already redeemed from the curse of the law. I am already delivered from the dominion of darkness. I'm already planted into the kingdom of God's Son, and Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. And I have access to everything He has. And so we're going to prepare ourselves here in just a moment. Because he went on in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11. He said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you declare, you do show the Lord's death until He comes." Now remember what he said in that 10th chapter. He says, you can't do both. You can't have it both ways. So when you come to this table, you're declaring that this is not just a religious ritual that I'm going to do on Sunday morning, but this is a celebration of my covenant that I have with God that I'm going to do every day of my life. It is my dependency upon Him. It is my trust in Him. It is my declaration that He is my Lord. He is my way, my truth, and my life. He's my friend that will stick closer than a brother. He's going to be the one who picks me up if I fail. He's going to be the one who heals me if I get hurt. He's going to be the one who will never leave me nor forsake me. He's going to be my peace in the midst of the storm. And every day I'm going to get up and acknowledge that, Jesus, You are my Lord. And I may not be perfect today, but I'm going to serve You with all my heart. And I will do nothing premeditated or on purpose to hurt You. And if I do mess up, Lord, it's going to break my heart. And I'm going to come to You and ask You to forgive me. And I'm going to receive Your forgiveness and thank You that I don't have to live in the guilt and the condemnation. I don't even have to wait till Sunday morning. I can receive it right now because You're my every day, every hour, every minute, every second Lord of my life. Amen. And Lord, I thank You that You're making me a plus. And I'm not going to let the world make me a minus. Amen. I'm going to live in this light.